Turn back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Title of the message, Wise Men Seek the Lord. Wise men seek the Lord. Very few took notice of our Lord's birth when He came into this world. There were probably more people took notice of your birth than when He was born than those that took notice of His birth. Isn't that amazing? The God of creation. One of the greatest events to have ever happened. And I think there was two great events that surpass all others on this earth. That's when God became man. The Son of God was incarnate. And then when the Son of God was put to death. And here's one of them. He was born into this world. The Word was made flesh. As I read to you out of John chapter 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it went almost unnoticed, except for just a few. And I think it's still the same today. Very few truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God there are a few. There are a few. There's a few here. There's a few down Wheelersburg and Lexington and some other places. There are a few. Who worship Him. And I thank God for that. There are a few who've been chosen to see Him. Called to Him. Just like these wise men. Called to Him. Directed to Him. Brought to Him. And they worship Him. Now the first to take notice of Him were the shepherds over there in Luke chapter 2. The angels proclaimed His birth to these shepherds out in the field. Then Simeon and Anna, when he was brought to the temple after he was eight days old, they took notice of him. And they spoke to Israel, all that would hear. They spoke to them of him. But very few believed it. Very few believed it. 2 years went by. Approximately 2 years went by. These wise men came from the east to see him who was born king. He's born king. But 2 years went by virtually unnoticed. Now it says here that he was born in verse 1. He was born in Bethlehem. And that's important. Why is it important? Because it fulfills the scriptures. That's why it's important. Bethlehem was, and that place was really just a small place. It was just, had dwindled down to nothing. City of David, you wouldn't have known it. You would have not known it by looking at it. Not at that time. But it's real important here because it was the fulfilling of the scriptures. It was foretold over in Micah chapter 5 that he would be born in the city of David in Bethlehem. And what God says, it comes to pass. You can bank on it. You can count, you can stake your life on it. It's going to happen. Every prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ was fulfilled to the letter. Fulfilled to the letter by Him. Everything about Him was foretold. No surprises. There were no surprises. The Pharisees and scribes, all the religious people that day, they read about this. They read all these prophecies. They read all these things. This should not have been a surprise. God said, this was going to happen. The virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. God said that. And the Jews expected him to be born there. They expected him to be born. Because they even told Herod there where he would be born. But now Joseph and Mary lived in Galilee. They lived in Galilee. Not Bethlehem. Joseph's from Bethlehem. But now how's he going to go to Bethlehem? They live in Galilee. She's about to have her first child. Here's the providence of God. Caesar Augustus decides one day we're going to tax everybody. I'm going to have to lay a tax on some people here. We need some money. And so he decides we are going to tax every man, and he's going to go to his own city, and he's going to pay taxes where he lived, where he was born, where he was brought up. That's where he's going to go and pay taxes. And you know that made everybody mad, like taxes always do. Taxes just upset us. They upset me. I mean, I get tired of paying in business, especially you get hit with tax after tax. And so, everybody's mad and upset. But if everyone knew what this was fulfilling and what this was going to bring about, my soul would rejoice. But we wouldn't care to pay that tax, would we? Because the Scriptures, who would have thought? Who would have thought that this tax that Caesar Augustus is going to lay on the people is going to fulfill the Word of God and the purpose of God? Everything does. Oh, if we could just realize that. If I could just realize that, my day would be a lot better. I would get along a whole lot better during the day. If I would realize, not just say it, but realize it in the heart, in my heart, realize that everything serves God's purpose. Everything does. That's the providence of God. It's amazing. It's amazing. Says over in, I believe it's Proverbs 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. All things were ruled and overruled by God to accomplish his purpose for his people. Everything. You're going to see that in Romans here next week, it looks like. All things work together for good. Even what doesn't look good. Even what does not taste good. Even what does not feel good is working together for our good. It does. Now we have these wise men from the east. You know, God has a people. God Almighty has a people scattered throughout this earth. He has a people in every country, every tongue, every language, every nation on this earth. God has a people. We're not alone. And here we have some Gentiles, the first fruits. Here we have the first fruits, some Gentiles, some pagans. Pagans. Who have been called out of darkness from the east. He has people in the east, the north, south, and the west, all over this world. And he calls these pagans out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somewhere along the way, God taught these men the gospel. Somewhere along the way, these men heard of the King of Kings, and they believed. God either sent him a prophet or somehow, but they heard. We don't know how, because we don't know. We don't need to know how, do we? I know how I heard. I heard through the preaching of the gospel. And they did too. God saved those men. I don't know how they heard about him, but they did. And they believed. They were brought to faith. Now it says here, wise men. Now when we read that, if you don't do any research, you naturally think these men were wise. You know what that really means? They were magicians. They were sorcerers. That's what they're referring to. They're not talking about wise as far as their intellect. They're talking about wise as far as they were sorcerers, magicians. They were in the soothsaying. They were astrologers. That's what God saved him from. That's what he saved him from. You know, God saves sinners from all walks of life, doesn't he? Everyone in here has a story. Because everyone in here has a life, a past life, and you have a story. And God saved you from it. But the one thing we all have in common, it doesn't matter what part we come from. Where we come from. There's one thing. Everyone whom God saves has in common. They were all lost. We were all lost. It doesn't matter if it was in this sin or that sin. We were all lost. Spiritually dead. And sovereign mercy
Sovereign mercy sought us out. Sovereign mercy. Sought them out, sought us out. Sovereign mercy. I tell you what, they were saved by the grace of God, and we are saved by the grace of God. Paul said, we shall be saved even as they. Only by the grace of God. We were made nigh by the blood of Christ, just as they were made nigh by the blood of Christ. And they asked a wise question. Now these were wise. They were called wise men, magicians. You know, that's what they were referred to here. But now they were made wise. They were truly made wise. God made them wise. They had some wisdom here. And they asked a wise question. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where is he? You notice that how they spoke with such full assurance. Where is he that was born, who was supposed to be born king? No. Where is he born king? They came with absolute assurance that they were going to see the King of Glory. They were going to see the one who was born king. They spoke with absolute assurance. They did not travel all that way out of curiosity. They didn't travel all that way and bring those gifts just out of curiosity to see if this might be so. They believed God. When they heard the message, they believed God and acted on it. And they traveled all that way to see him who was born king of the Jews. They were fully persuaded that the King of Kings had arrived. King of Kings. How'd they know this? They said, for we have seen his star in the east. God gave them a heavenly sign to guide them, to direct them from where they were to where he is. He gave them a sign. And I want you to listen to their wisdom. And we are come to worship him. What did we come here this morning for? That's the first thought that hit my mind when I read this. They said, we are come to see him, to satisfy our curiosity. They said, we've come to worship him. You know what it is to worship something. You're just absolutely consumed with it. You're consumed with it. We are come to worship him. They came to honor and to hone him as their king. This is our king. The king of the Jews. Here's some Gentiles. Gentile pagans whom God has saved. They came to own this king of the Jews as their king. He's our king. We've come to worship him. And they were not disappointed. When they saw that child, when they saw the child, the Lord Jesus, they saw him as a child. There was no halo over his head. There was no crown on his head. There was no purple robe. And the house he entered was not a palace. It was a poor man's house. He didn't have luxurious furniture and all the garbs that go along with that. He saw a poor woman in a poor situation. And you know what? They were not disappointed. Because they were not looking at the things, they were looking at him. This is the king. This is God's king. This is our king. And they were not disappointed. But upon their arrival, and upon their questioning, where is he that's born king? They came into town, they said, where is he that's born king? They figured people ought to know this. A king is born. The people here ought to know this. No one could tell them. No one there could tell them. But when they came into town and they asked, "Where is he that's born king?" Trouble. Trouble came. Trouble. Trouble always follows the announcement of the good news of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. But it's also a witness against human depravity. You want to talk about depravity? We announce the good news of the gospel, and men are troubled by it. Stirred, angered by the good news that the Savior has come. The King is born. Instead of rejoicing, is troubled. Troubled. How sad it is when good news troubles people. That's a sad, sad day. Now Herod the king heard of the King of Kings being born, and it troubled him, and he troubled all of Jerusalem. He infected all of Jerusalem with his troubled heart over the King of Kings being born. Rebels just cannot be troubled alone, can they? They can't just be troubled alone. They got to trouble everybody else around them. They got to infect everyone else around them. That's rebels for you. But here's what troubled Herod. Here's what troubled him. And this is what troubles all men who are lost and hate God. They saw him as a threat. They didn't see him as salvation. They didn't see him as God's glory. They didn't see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Like Herod, they see him as a threat. Herod saw him as a threat to his power and glory. Herod is the king. When he heard of the King of Kings, it troubled him. He said, "This guy's going to dethrone me. He's going to dethrone me." And I believe to a great degree this is the way rebels see Christ. They see him as a threat to their own glory and way of life. That's the way they see. They see Christ to be against all that they love. I truly remember a time when that's the way I saw it. I saw religion, the gospel, as against everything I wanted to do. It was just against everything. You see, the self-righteous man sees it as a threat against his own righteousness. The sexual pervert sees it as a threat against his perversion. The drunk sees it as a threat against his drunkenness. They look at what appears to be the negative side of this whole thing. They see it as a negative. Everything they see about salvation in Christ is a negative. And that's because they're lost. That's because they're in darkness. That's because they're in spiritual ignorance. This is what Christ has to save us from. Spiritual darkness, spiritual ignorance, and love of sin and self. Not until He saves us, not until He saves us by His grace, do we see the positive side of salvation. We see it as life. Freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. To be free from these things. It's not until we have life that we see we were in bondage. Not until we have life that we see that we were dead. Dead people don't see they're dead. It's not until God gives a man life that he sees he was dead in trespasses and sins. That he sees the wretchedness of that which he loved. And he doesn't glory in his shame anymore. He's ashamed of his shame. Not until the Lord saves us do we see the positive of salvation. But then, look at Herod here again. And when Herod, he heard these things. He heard about the King of Kings. And when he had heard these things, he went and gathered all the priests and the scribes and of the people together. He got the religious people together. He had a meeting with them. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Tell me where this Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Like the politician he was, he uses the religious leaders, sides up with them, to try and fulfill his evil intentions. He had no good intentions here. But God knows the heart. God knows the heart. Spurgeon said this, Herod in religion is still Herod. Herod in religion is still Herod. He's still wicked, still evil. He didn't change him a bit. And I noticed here in verse 6, he called these scribes in and they quoted the scripture to him. They quoted the scripture to him. They knew what the scripture said. They were well versed in the Word of God. Well versed in the Word of God. They said geographically they knew where he was going to be born. They made an A in geography. They made an A in it. They even had some of the theology down right. But know this, knowledge in the head does not mean grace in the heart. There's a whole lot of people who can quote Scripture to you. There's a whole lot of people that can quote Scripture to you more than I can. But they know nothing of the grace of God. They know nothing of the King of Glory. They don't know Him at all. Full heads and empty hearts. That's what Herod was talking to there. He was talking to full heads but empty hearts. They knew where he was to be born, but they didn't seek him. Now you know the shepherds went about and told the story. After they'd heard, they went out and told it. And then Simeon and Anna. But you know they showed no interest. These scribes and Pharisees, No, that's not him. That's not the one. That's not it. They showed no interest. They knew where he's going to be born and everything. Then when it was announced, the king was born. These wise men came in and said, where is he that's born king? They didn't seek him. They didn't seek him at all. And I think like most today, they know the story of the gospel. They talk to you about Jesus Christ coming into the world, being crucified, dying, he risen, and is going to return. But they don't look for him. They're not looking for him. They're having such a good time. They're not looking for him. They're having such a good time in their souped up meetings, and they're not looking for him. Not at all. No more than these Jews were. So Herod called these wise men, and he called them privately. He calls them privately. They're the one who started all this. They're the ones who came into town and said, where is he that's born king? So he calls them, and he calls them in privately. And he acts like he's going to worship the king. He acts like he wants to worship the king. He acts like he's really interested in this king. Murder was in his heart. We'll see this later on. Murder was in his heart while pretending to want to see the king so that he could worship him. I'm so glad that God sees the heart and stops evil intention and evil men. Those wise men couldn't see his heart, but God did. He pretended like he wanted to worship the king, but God knew his heart. That's why he sent those men another way when they went home. They didn't go back there. And then when they left there, these wise men were guided by a star. God gave them this star. I don't know what it was, meteor or whatever it was. God gave them a star. When they saw the star, it says there in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, the same one, it went before them. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. God gave those wise men a star to guide them to His Son, to the King of Glory. And they followed it. They were obedient. They followed it. They followed what God gave them. You know, God gave Israel a cloudy pillar. And when the cloud moved, they moved. They moved. Why do we have to follow the gospel? The gospel. I have been asked more than one time, why did you move to Ashland? I was living in Milton. I don't know how many times I've been asked that over the years, people I've worked with, and they asked me, you know, find out I lived in Milton, asked me why I moved to Ashland. And to tell them the truth, it wasn't for a job. I moved here for the gospel. I moved my family here for the gospel. Because the gospel was here. What do we have to follow? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wrote down here, if it ever moves, we'll follow it. If it ever moves, we'll follow it. We have the gospel to follow. We have His word to follow. We have His, listen, we have His ministers to follow. I had a man say to me, you're just following Henry Mahan. You're right. You're right. Paul said, follow us as we follow Christ. You find a man that preaches the gospel, you follow him. You follow him as he follows Christ. We're not to follow a man. I follow a man, the man Christ Jesus. And I follow the men He sent to preach the gospel. So we have the gospel to follow, His word, which is the gospel, to follow. And we have His minister, His true ministers that are sent of God to follow. And they followed that star. God gave them a star to follow. And that star stood over where He was. Christ is the sum and substance of all our preaching, isn't it? And that star, when it came to that place where He was, in that house, it didn't move. It didn't move from house to house to this to that. It stayed right there over that house. And that's what preachers are to do. Stay right there on Christ. You know, that's what they're called over here in Revelation chapter 1. Look over in Revelation chapter 1. Here's the duty, responsibility of those who preach the gospel. In verse 20 of chapter 1, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the what? Angels. You know who the angels are right here? Pastors. Pastors. And that's the pastor's duty, responsibility, is to rest right over Christ. Don't move. Don't move from Him. Any star that does not stand over Him, leave it. Leave it. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It didn't just say they rejoiced. There's just not enough words here. Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They had just been in the presence of evil. And boy, don't you know they felt it. They felt it. When they left there, I bet they looked at each other and said, whoa, man. They knew. They had suspected. I have no doubt these wise men suspected that Herod had evil intentions. That star did not shine over Herod. But when they left him, it appeared. God didn't leave them. He didn't leave them. There are some places where the star of the gospel does not shine. And here's why I say to you, stay out of those places. Stay out of those places where the star doesn't shine. But when they saw it, it says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This is the effect the gospel has on all of His people. When you hear the gospel, it doesn't matter how feeble the man is that preaches it. The clay pot may be cracked in several places. But when you hear the gospel, you rejoice. You know it. You know it. And it makes you rejoice. You can't help it. You can't help it. And then in verse 11, when they saw the young child, what did they do? They fell down. They fell down for this young child and worshiped Him. Not Mary. They didn't say, Hail Mary. They didn't say none of those things. They worshiped Him. And I note they were not disrespectful to Mary and those others, but they came to worship Him. They came to see Him. When sinners see Him, that's when they'll fall at His feet and worship Him. Oh, they worshiped Him. And they presented gifts. You know, grace in the heart makes one thankful and generous. It does. It makes a person, if it's really there, it'll make a person so thankful and generous. You sure can't outgive God. And look what He's done for us. And here's another evidence of God's providence. They brought these gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God had them to bring these gifts. You know why? Because Joseph, Mary, and our Lord is going to have to run. They're going to have to go into Egypt. They're going to have to go hide from Herod the king, who's after his life. Satan behind all of it. But he's after him. And so what does God do? He saves some Gentile pagans, some sorcerers, sends them up there to see the King of glory. This is your King. And they bring gifts. Gold. $1,000 an ounce nowadays, isn't it? I just watched that on TV this morning. People have meetings selling the rings and now they're melting them down so they can sell them. $1,000 an ounce. Brought gold. They brought everything they needed for that journey. God provides for His own. He always provides for His own. He provided for their journey into Egypt. They didn't have to wring their hands and say, I've got to quit my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. How are we going to make it? God provided. God provided. God always provides for His own. And then here in verse 12, I quit. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. See, they didn't make a pact with Herod. They didn't say, when we find the king, we'll be back. I think these guys said nothing. That's a show of wisdom, isn't it? Sometimes the biggest show of wisdom is shut up. They didn't say a word. Herod said, you find the king, you come back and tell me. And I'm going to come and worship him too. Eh? See you later. They didn't make a pact with Herod. God warned them in a dream. They departed into their own country. And I guarantee you when they went into their own country, they reported the good news. We have seen the King of glory. We have seen the King. The King is born. And they went to their own country another way. God sent them another way. Wise men seek the Lord. They do.
All right, Mike.